As women, we all wake up one day and realize that youth, marriage, and perfect skin don't come with a refund policy. If that hits home, Party's Over is good for you. It's the show where beauty, heartbreak, and brutal honesty collide. Each week, beauty rebel and author of BS to Botox, Sandralina Silverman, and her guests spill the truth about aging, love, and everything in between. Expect laughter, wisdom, and the occasional Botox confession. Real women, real stories, real talk. Download Party's Over today on the Odyssey app.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
Hour number two, After Hours, here on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber here with you. Our producer for tonight's show is Nathan Williams, and got a lot more to get to here in the final hour of our show. Of course, you got the College Football Playoff National Championship game, Notre Dame, Ohio State on Monday, that we might have a chance to get to here. KU with a tough one against Iowa State last night. Mizzou earlier this week picked up a massive top five win against Florida, and some interesting storylines surrounding LeBron James and his longtime friend and business manager, Maverick Carter. So we'll talk about some of that stuff here in hour number two. Of course, we'll continue to look at our text line, 913-586-7965. Had a 913 chime in, say, battle of running quarterbacks. Somebody's not going to the Super Bowl again. Run Lamar, run Josh, run. Beat up each other sort of game. We can hope, as Chiefs fans, right? I mean, if those two guys are having to contend with one another for four quarters and they're opposing defenses, maybe one of them's a little bit less than 100% coming into a matchup like that. Talking about, I had just heard the Damon Heward-led Chiefs against Peyton and the Colts may need my hearing checked. He said, you heard right. I was being dramatic, that Damon Heward played a big role in my team's best season my entire childhood. LOL. Thanks for listening. Oof. Yeah, I mean, Damon Heward being the starting quarterback of the best Chiefs team of your childhood, that's a rough go.
Yeah, we were talking about how far this franchise has come, and I said, hey, the highlight of my childhood was a season in which Damon Heward quarterbacked the team, and then they got demolished in the first round of the playoffs against Peyton Manning and the machine. Was that the year they won the championship? I can't remember. It was 20 years ago. But yeah, Damon Heward was a big part of my best Chiefs season as a child. And now we are looking at going to the seventh consecutive AFC championship game. It's bonkers, Logan. Bonkers.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs just continued. There was this theme with the Kansas City Chiefs there for a while where it was like, let's go find a New England Patriots backup quarterback and we'll bring them in to be our starter and everything's going to work out just fine, right? They did it with Damon Heward. Eh. And then you did it with Matt Cassel. Yeah. That just didn't, yeah, there's something about that didn't really go together. 816 says, does Pacheco have a game against this tough Texans team? I don't know how to answer that. I really do not know how to answer that question, to be completely honest with you, because he just hasn't looked like the same guy. I don't know. And maybe that is, you know, maybe that's teams keying in on him, right? He's not a rookie anymore. Teams have a year of film on him. And, you know, with as effective a back as Kareem Hunt has become in those short yardage situation, those third down and short, fourth down and short type scenarios, I don't know. And the receivers, you know, there's so many more weapons at Mahomes' disposal. Blah. I wouldn't be willing to say that Pacheco has a big day. I hope so. I hope he goes for, you know, 18 carries for 110 yards and a couple of scores. I don't know, but as good a short yardage back as Pacheco was at times this year, he just hasn't been as effective this season. It seems like Kareem Hunt and even Carson Steele to some extent have kind of filled that gap.
Bingo. I would take the under on any Pacheco props as of right now for a couple of reasons. One, I just don't think he's fully healthy. Is he the healthiest he's been since September? Yes. I know they haven't played a game in nearly a month with the starters. The second reason is that diversified backfield as well. They have multiple options, especially in short yardage scenarios. P. Ryan's getting a lot of run on third down, could get a lot of passing looks in the passing game, excuse me. Another reason is that offensive line that we talked about, especially if Joe Tooney does kick out to left tackle, whether that's starting or because DJ Humphries can't knock the rust off, that run game has not looked as solid on the interior with Caliendo at left guard. Look, he's done everything that we've asked him to do. Tooney's done really well in pass pro at left tackle, all things considered. But yeah, that run game does take a hit, especially in a third and one, fourth and one scenario when you can't just line up Trey, Creed, and Joe Tooney next to each other and push the ball forward when you got to have it. For all those reasons, I'm not completely sold on Pacheco having some great game. I mean, it wouldn't, if he breaks off a run, gets in the end zone, wouldn't be shocked, but I'm not loving any Isaiah Pacheco plays this weekend, that's for sure.
No question. All right. I said that I was going to kind of introduce myself a little bit here throughout the course of the show. This is my second week here at 96.5 The Fan. And, you know, as I said in hour one, I'm truly just thrilled to be back in Kansas City. I grew up in this area. I grew up in you know, many probably are not familiar with Lawson, Missouri is where I grew up. It's about 40, 45 minutes northeast. It's about, I would say it probably took me half hour, 35 minutes to get to the complex, the sports complex from my house growing up, depending on traffic, of course, taking 35 into the city. But this was my home, right? I was born and raised around here and had the opportunity when I went to college at Northwest Missouri State and then moved down to Springfield because my fiance at the time, my now wife, was finishing up undergrad and grad studies at Missouri State University and picked up my first job down there at ESPN The Jock and the Zimmer Communications group of stations down in Springfield where I worked for the last 4 years and then, you know, got an opportunity, this opportunity to come back to home and be able to cover the teams that I grew up rooting for and fell in love with the Chiefs and the Royals. But man, I have to say this, you know, Nathan, the beauty and the curse of being, I guess, quote unquote, a public figure, right?
Yes.
Somebody who's out, you know, and kind of in people's, not necessarily in people's faces, but in people's ears, so to speak. It's got its good and its bad. So let me tell you.
Folks, he's drinking a Mountain Dew right now, just so you know. Drinking one right now.
Yes, I am. So yesterday, of course, you know, they did like the welcome to or meet the person sort of a thing. 96.5 yesterday on their Facebook page put up like a meet Logan Weber, our newest host to The Fan. And, you know, it asked a couple of questions. How long have you been at the station? This is week two. So at the time it was only a week. My all-time favorite sports moment. I am an Iowa fan, huge fan of the University of Iowa and Hawkeyes, football and men's basketball, women's basketball, obviously with Caitlin Clark and the sudden influx there. I'm not a huge wrestling fan, but I watch Iowa wrestling pretty consistently. My dad was born and raised in the state, grew up on a farm in Hawkeye, Iowa. I didn't have a choice. Neither did he. But my favorite all-time sports moment was the 05 Capital One Bowl, Iowa against LSU. This was Nick Saban-led LSU. They had won the national championship the year prior, Jamarcus Russell at quarterback, and Iowa, you know, is trying to drive down the field and score to win the game. They have no timeouts, clock's running. Drew Tate, Iowa's quarterback, has to snap the football and just throws a 40-yard heave down the right sideline, where Warren Holloway for Iowa catches it. He was a redshirt senior who had never caught a touchdown pass at Iowa, but he catches that one because he's somehow out on the field in that the biggest moment of the season, catches it. Iowa wins the Capital One Bowl against Nick Saban and LSU. I was 6 years old at the time. I was almost seven. We were celebrating. We were having like our Christmas at my grandma and grandpa's house. This was probably close to a year after my grandfather had passed. So it was kind of like the first Christmas that we were all celebrating after my grandpa Weber had passed away. And I'm sitting on the couch watching the game with my dad, playing Madden 2005 on my Game Boy Advance SP. If you know, sort of a thing for those of us who grew up in that era. And I watched that play and I fell in love with sports. Like, that was the moment for me where I was like, I want to be around this for as long as I possibly can. I don't know what respect it was going to be in. You know, I can remember being 11, 12 years old playing high school or playing like, you know, middle school tackle football and realizing like, I'm like the fifth smallest dude on the field right now. So I knew at a fairly young age, you know, 12, 13, that I'm pretty sure I'm not going to get into the NBA or the NFL at this point. So what else can I do where I can stay around sports for the rest of my life? Because this is something that I've always gravitated towards and always been in love with. And for a while there, I thought I wanted to be a teacher. I initially went to college. I was going to be a history teacher and a basketball coach and maybe like an assistant football coach. And I just didn't have that kind of love for it. So changed my degree one day, literally on a whim. Like, I called my mom after leaving class one day and I'm like, hey, I'm changing majors today. I don't know what I'm changing to, but I'm changing. I go into the administrative building at Northwest Missouri State. I walk up to the front desk I look at the lady and I'm like, hey, I need to change majors. She goes, okay, what do you want to change to? I said, I have no idea. She goes, here, do you want a list? I said, that would be great. And I'm looking down the list of majors and I see sports media. And I'm like, oh, that sounds right up my alley. So, you know, I did TV stuff. I did some work in print journalism, writing for papers and you know, things like that. But the first time I sat down and did an air check in front of a microphone in a radio studio, I just kind of, I felt that again, right? I felt the same sort of attachment to sports in the same way I did when I stepped on a basketball court or when I put my helmet on to play football when I was in junior high and high school. And absolutely love what we get to do here. So that was, yeah, I mean, the all-time favorite sports moment, the Capital One Bowl in 05, Iowa LSU, kind of set me on a path that somehow is where I'm sitting today. My childhood sports idol is one that I think is a little bit weird for some people. Like I said, I grew up in this area. When I was a kid, my dad, being an Iowa fan, there weren't a lot of like Iowa players in like the NBA and stuff. So I wasn't really like a fan of the NBA because there was no attachment for me. But my dad used to play old NBA Live video games, and he always played with the Boston Celtics. Couldn't figure out why until I realized Ricky Davis, who played at the University of Iowa, played for the Celtics in that time. So I became a Celtics fan because of that. And then I started following Boston sports kind of because of that, because the Patriots were good, although I was never a Patriots fan, ever. I don't want to get that misconstrued. I was not a Patriots fan. I followed the Celtics and I followed the Patriots, although I wasn't a fan. And then I started watching the Boston Red Sox when I was around 8 or 9 years old. And Dustin Pedroia was, you know, a young guy on those teams. And I loved watching Dustin Pedroia play baseball. He was maybe 5'7", maybe 170 pounds, and was for a time the best second baseman in baseball. And I myself played second base growing up. For those who know me, that's going to be weird because I am left-handed And I don't mean like kind of. I am left-handed. I write left-hand. I almost failed keyboarding in junior high because I kept moving the mouse to the left side of the computer. And my teacher threatened to fail me if I kept doing that. I am super left-handed. But I played second base. And I was small. I was very unassuming. But I loved, and because of that, I loved watching Dustin Pedroia play. You know, winning Rookie of the Year in 07, and then in 09, he won the American League MVP as probably the smallest guy in baseball at that time. And if not for injuries, I thoroughly believe that Dustin Pedroia would have been in Cooperstown. And then my favorite drink is Mountain Dew. I'm not afraid to admit that. I was that dude in high school where, like, I would get in my car and drive to school, and I would stop by one of the two gas stations that we had in town growing up in Lawson, and I'd grab myself a Mountain Dew. It's just what I did. But, yeah, in this post, man, people are ruthless, I have to say. And, you know, I had to talk a few people down off the ledge. I couldn't quite get to all of them. But, you know, some people are cracking jokes. One guy's like, is he old enough to shave? Barely, I have to say. Barely. Yeah, I'm 26 years old, and I look like I'm about 19. So I get it. Is he old enough to shave? That's a tough one, I have to say. A very stupid-looking face. Oof. What did I do to you? That's awful. My wife would disagree. All right, leave me alone. That one, yeah, damn. What a stupid looking face. That's a tough one to come back from. How do I respond to that, Mr. Brad Gomez on Facebook? That's a tough one.
Well, you're on the radio. You're not on television.
Yeah, good point. I have a face for radio.
Good thing he doesn't have to look at your face.
Yeah, good point. You know, my dad would really appreciate that because my dad always makes that joke all the time. That typical cliche, oh, you have a face for radio. That's a real funny one, Dad. I absolutely love that. 816 asks, when did you graduate at Lawson? I went to Lathrop High School, the Mules. They were one of our bigger rivals in the KCI when I was growing up. I graduated in 2016 from Lawson High School. So, yeah, very familiar with Lathrop. That was like they were the closest conference school to our hometown in Lawson. As you kind of take 69 from my hometown down to Lathrop, and then that kind of takes you up towards the north part of the state. So, you know, driving back and forth to Northwest quite a bit in Maryville, always drove by Lathrop, and got to say, I got the better end of the Lawson Lathrop matchups when I was a kid, more often than not. I did lose to Lathrop twice in high school in football, but beat them the other three times that we played them. So I had a winning record there. And I'm not sure I ever lost to Lathrop in basketball in high school either. So just had to throw that one out there.
Yeah, and we can't overlook this comment as well. When one Facebooker asks, what time slot is Logan on? And the guy replies, in the afternoon after the school bus drops him off. And then they go back and forth, like, fighting about you. Oh. Like, someone's defending you. I mean, it's great stuff. No, the best trajectory in this industry is person moves away, discovers this dream or is chasing this dream, and then gets to come home and do it. So, you know, we're glad you're here at 96.5. Facebook might be split, and thank goodness they don't have to look at your ugly mug, but no, we're glad that you're here.
Thanks, I appreciate it, and I'm thrilled to be here too. I completely forgot, that is my favorite one, right? I mean, I'm at a point now where, yeah, I might be fairly young, 26, almost 27, but I've been in this business long enough, even going back to college, where, you know, people are just going to say things, right? They whether they mean it or not, right? It could be lighthearted. You can never tell. You can't really, you know, dissect somebody's intention via a typed out post on Facebook, right? You can't tell what the emotion or the intent of something is behind a bunch of letters on a screen. So they may have meant it in a joking manner. I think if you do that, you probably throw like a crying laughing face emoji in there or something, but that's a phenomenal one. Probably in the afternoon after school gets out and the bus drops him off. That's such a good one. That one made me laugh out loud of all these. Yeah. And then a lot of it is like, frankly, I've got like family members and friends from high school and stuff that are commenting on it.
Just coming to your defense.
Yeah. And I'm trying to be like, guys, just let it go. Yeah. It's fine. Water off a duck's back at this point, right? I'm just thrilled to be here and thrilled to have the opportunity to do it. So yeah, it is what it is. All right. We got a lot more to get to here in the last 40 minutes of our show here. I want to talk a little bit about, and I know this isn't a giant area for the NBA, although I do hope and pray that someday whether it's, you know, Mahomes and the ownership group that, you know, he's a part of that's trying to get a WNBA franchise to Kansas City. I want to see the NBA come back so bad, so bad. While I don't believe that they'll ever go and like play at the Sprint Center, I would love to see the NBA get back to Kansas City. But if it's not the NBA, could be another league, one that actually is involving Maverick Carter, who is the business owner for LeBron James. So I want to break that one down just a little bit when we come back. This is After Hours here on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan. Well, I know this area doesn't have an NBA team, but as I said earlier here, I would love to see one come back to Kansas City. I am a basketball guy. That's my favorite sport, kind of always has been. Grew up playing it, loved the game of basketball. And it was always kind of, you know, I never had an NBA team to really root for in this area. I did say I am a Celtics fan growing up, watching my dad play NBA live video games, and Ricky Davis from Iowa was the guy he always played with because he was on the Celtics. So I'm a Celtics fan, but I would very easily flip my allegiance if an NBA team ever came to the Kansas City market again. But it may not be the NBA. It could be a new basketball league that, according to Shams, the senior NBA insider for ESPN, reporting that LeBron James business manager Maverick Carter has been enlisted as an advisor by a group of investors that are trying to raise $5 billion to form an international basketball league that would serve as a rival to the NBA. They're looking to have 6 men's teams and 6 women's teams playing games around the world. So I'm not exactly sure how this effort would become a rival to the league if it's an international sort of a league. I mean, isn't that what the Euro League is? I mean, I don't know how that works necessarily. There's professional leagues in Germany and France and Italy and Spain. And so I don't know how it's a direct rival to the NBA if it's an international league necessarily. He has, you know, James himself has tried to, you know, he's been very vocal about trying to become an owner of an NBA team at some point. So I don't know. I mean, they really haven't done much to try to get this thing going. Based on them saying an international league, it doesn't sound like this is going to be teams that are within the United, even in Canada, for that matter. They're right now trying to get $5 billion through private equity and sovereign wealth funds. Currently, funds are limited to a 20% stake in an NBA team, and they're not allowed to serve in governing roles. The NBA, of course, has kind of long had a monopoly, at least in terms of upper echelon professional basketball, the EuroLeague to some extent, but it is a very, very distant second. Of course, since the merger of the NBA and the ABA in the 60s and 70s, the WNBA, of course, has had the same thing, a very, very large monopoly over the game of women's professional basketball. Then you have this, you know, the 3v3 league that started up now during the WNBA offseason. I certainly am not overtly convinced of how this is going to work. I don't know how you're going to usurp or rival the NBA based off of where they're at right now. But if you're going to try it, now is probably the best time to do so, because the NBA is in a bit of a ratings crisis as we speak.
Yes, they're in a rating crisis. But I just, outside of the fact that maybe there's money to be made here, I don't understand money maybe to be made there. I don't understand the labeling this as a rival to the NBA or an alleged, upcoming rival to the NBA. Not only is there the monopoly, like financially over the game, there's a monopoly in like the hearts of the consumers over this game. And it's that way in all of the big professional leagues in America as we know it, like even the NCAA in football. The brand that is associated with the product is something that's not going anywhere. We're just way past the point of launching a major American sport from scratch. And I don't mean to discount Maverick Carter. How is this different from things like the alternative football leagues we've seen, the XFL, mm-hmm. or like Big Three basketball? Could it be a gimmick? Could it be cool? Could there be money to be had? Like, sure. I'm not really putting any stock into labeling this as a rival to the NBA.
No, and I think it'll be interesting to see, because like you mentioned some of these other leagues. We mentioned, you know, the Big Three league that Ice Cube and others do. There's the 3v3 league that a lot of WNBA players are being a part of right now. The UFL is another one that's going on. But the thing that all of those leagues have in common is that they do not directly compete with the other organization in that professional sport, right? The Big Three takes place during the offseason of the NBA, and it's not like a lot of NBA players go over and play that. It's a lot of former NBA players or guys that are free agents that go over and play in those sorts of things. That 3v3 league that a lot of these WNBA players are now attaching themselves to, it is during the WNBA offseason. The UFL starts about the same time that the NFL season ends. So I don't know exactly how would you be a direct competitor if you weren't going to play during the same part of the season as them, and if you're trying to play at the same time as the NBA with the NFL still going on, with college football still going on to some extent, with college basketball going on. I just don't see you having a great deal of success in being able to make that work. Yeah, I mean, stranger things have happened, I suppose. Now, I do want to say, it does mention in the article that while Maverick Carter is LeBron's business manager, LeBron himself is in no way, shape, or form attached to this situation. LeBron is not a part of it in any stretch of the imagination, so not like he could face any real backlash by the NBA for trying to promote a league that is directly against. I don't know. I don't know how that would necessarily work. And frankly, I don't know if it'll work at all. But, you know, we did have some interesting news. Of course, it's off season. We're still waiting about a month or two before pitchers and catchers report for Major League Baseball and the Kansas City Royals. Couple of interesting stories surrounding the Kansas City Royals today. A very, very hot international signing market for the Kansas City Royals as they signed six prospects from in the international signing market. And then one Royals prospect who is gaining even more attention via MLB's top 100 prospects list, being named as the top player at his position among all prospects in Major League Baseball. So we'll talk about that here in just a few minutes. You're listening to Logan Weber here on After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan. Kansas City Royals today announcing half a dozen international signings, or at least expected international prospects going to sign with the Kansas City Royals. Two of them kind of highlighting this class. Warren Calcano, he's a shortstop from the Dominican Republic. Ramsel Medina, another shortstop from the DR. Moises Marchand, a center or catcher, center. I saw the C and immediately with my basketball brain went center. A catcher from Venezuela. Kendry Chirillo, a right-handed pitcher from Venezuela. And then two more guys from the DR, Luis Ramon King and Luis Germain, both outfielders from the Dominican Republic. Calcano is the number 7 ranked prospect internationally, according to Baseball America. MLB Pipeline has him as the number 38 prospect. He's 6'2", 165, right-handed thrower and hitter. So, I mean, pretty good size. He got scouted a couple of years ago, but there was some hesitancy surrounding him because he was only 140 pounds at the time at 6'2", but he's put on about 30 pounds since then and is expected to sign with Kansas City. He's got tremendous athleticism and instincts. He's got good contact. Power isn't necessarily going to wow you by any stretch of the imagination, but he's certainly got some time to develop and maybe pick up another position, because obviously the Royals are pretty set at shortstop right now with a 24-year-old Bobby Witt Jr., so I don't think they're in any real panic mode to pick up another guy at short. Medina is 6'2", 180, number 46 player in the international ranks, according to Baseball America, and 49 on MLB Pipeline. He signed signing a $950,000 deal. The scouts think that he's more than likely going to end up being a third of that type. They said he has an extremely good feel for the barrel and has some upside pop, pull side pop, giving some intrigue to his future. So those are kind of the two main guys to sign as a part of this. I mentioned the other four Not ranked within the top 50 prospects in international ranks, that Moises Merchan from Venezuela, Kendry Chirillo from Venezuela. He's a right-handed pitcher. Merchan is a catcher. You've got Luis Ramon King, an outfielder from the DR, and then Luis Germain, an outfielder also from the Dominican Republic. The other prospect note for the Kansas City Royals today, MLB.com recently re-ranked their top 100 prospects in baseball, and making his way up the list once again, Jack Caglione is now the number 17 prospect in minor league baseball right now. He is also the number one ranked primary first baseman of any prospect in baseball. He's the top first baseman primary, I should say. You got Kobe Mayo from the Orioles, who's a primary third baseman who can play first. He's listed as the eighth best prospect in baseball. And then Samuel Basalo from the Orioles. He's a catcher primary, but also can play some first base. He's listed as the number 13 prospect. But yeah, Caglione up to number 17. The 21-year-old finished out the year in high A last season, and there is certainly so much intrigue surrounding him. Royals fans very, very excited about what the future could look like for these Royals, with possibly him at first base along with Bobby Witt Jr. at short. Very, very, very high upside for Caglione. And then Blake Mitchell kind of got a little bit of a bump within the top 100 prospects as well. He's the number 51 prospect in minor league baseball, the 20-year-old catcher who, again, finished out the year in high A, as did Caglione. He was a first-round pick a couple of seasons ago. So very, very excited about the possibilities surrounding both of those guys. But it is the NFL season. We're watching the NFL. We got divisional round games, Texans, Chiefs, and Commanders, Lions Saturday. And then Sunday is Rams, Eagles, Ravens, Bills. And, you know, I found this mind-boggling that, you know, Patrick Mahomes, I saw this the other day, has an opportunity to make some history this year already, right? I mean, he continues to make history at seemingly every turn, but goodness, I saw this earlier this week. Patrick Mahomes has 41 career passing touchdowns in the postseason. That is fifth all time. With three touchdowns, he would tie Brett Favre for fourth all time. If he throws for four, he would tie Joe Montana and Aaron Rodgers for the second most postseason touchdowns of any quarterback in the history of the NFL. He's only played 18 postseason games in his career. 18 games, 5,100 yards passing, 41 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. That is unreal. He's also eighth all-time in passing yards by a quarterback in playoff history. If he throws for more than 230 yards in this game on Saturday, he will tie or pass Drew Brees to be the seventh all-time passer by yardage of any quarterback in postseason history. Again, it would be his 19th career playoff game. Kind of impressive that Drew Brees, as of right now, seventh all-time, 5,366. He did it in 18 games. But, you know, he needs about 600 yards or a little over 600 yards to pass Joe Montana for sixth. And then he would need about 700 or 800 to pass both Favre and Rodgers to move himself into fourth all-time already. I feel like we say it a lot, but I feel like we have to continue to say it to kind of pinch ourselves as Chiefs fans. He's only 29 years old. Like, he has got a chance to go into the top five in passing yards in playoff history and get himself to second all time in playoff touchdown passes. And he hasn't even hit 30 years old yet.
If we're being conservative and he retires in his late 30s and the trend now is to see the quarterbacks, the great ones, play into their early 40s. If we're conservative and he retires in his early 30s, we're still not halfway through his career. And we're talking about a guy who's top five in playoff passing yards. If things break right this January, it's absurd. I think there's a legitimate argument, you know. Of course, there's the will he ever usurp Brady in these conversations, and I don't want to go down that path tonight, but there's a legitimate argument that he is the second most decorated quarterback in football history right now, and he's not halfway done with his career. I know Manning had the MVPs and, you know, Montana and Bradshaw have him on the rings, but all things considered, there's an argument that he's at least in that conversation with those guys if he retired today. It's bonkers to think about. I've used that word a few times talking about him tonight. I don't know what brought that up, but I don't know how else to describe him. It's insane, especially considering that it's the Chiefs. It's this franchise that we grew up with as the much maligned organization. I'm not going to get tired ever of AFC Championship games. We've got to can't put the cart before the horse.
Right.
You know, I know there's a big one this weekend, but what this guy has done in the playoffs is absolute. I can't believe it. 8 years into his career, I still can't believe it's happening.
It's insane. You run out of superlatives to talk about who Patrick Mahomes is as a player. And I mean, like this season, right? I mean, there was a lot of talk over the last couple of weeks, and not sure what your opinion on it is one way or the other. But for me, right, a lot of people going out in social media and they're like, oh my goodness, how does Mahomes not make the Pro Bowl? How is he not an All-Pro? Statistically, he had, you know, one of the worst seasons of his career. He had the fewest number of passing yards that he's ever had in a season in his career, fewest number of touchdown passes of any season in his career. I didn't think he was deserving of the Pro Bowl, but he still, this season, threw for 3,900 yards, 26 touchdowns to 11 picks, and completed 67.5% of his passes. For that to be the worst statistical season of your career, you have got to be on another planet. And that's not even mentioning the another planet that is Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. He has been phenomenal in his entire playoff career. In fact, in the last 3 years for Patrick Mahomes, talking about how much better he's gotten throughout his career, especially in the playoffs, his first year in the league, he completed less than 60% of his playoff passes. The next season in 2019, 64%. 65% in 2020. In 2021, he completed 73% of his passes. 2022, 72% of his passes. Last year, 70% of his passes. He becomes a more accurate quarterback in the playoffs, which is just insane to think about. 18 career playoff games over the course of 6 seasons. And I mean, that's basically a full year, right? Almost a full regular season, a little over a full regular season. He is got 5,100 yards passing, 41 touchdowns, 8 picks. That is his 18, 17, you know, whatever average you want to call it. He averages 285 yards passing per playoff game in his career. Yes, Mahomes is a phenomenal quarterback in the regular season, but he's an even better player in the postseason. And that's why everybody is so terrified, right? And I don't think it helps matters when you've got national media pundits around the country right now, around the globe. I saw one earlier today that they were ranking the 8 starting quarterbacks still left in the playoffs. I saw one that had Mahomes as the 4th best quarterback still in the playoffs, and another had him as the 5th best quarterback still in the playoffs. When are you going to learn? He is Michael Jordan. He is Kobe Bryant. He is Tom Brady. He is Muhammad Ali in the respect of do not disrespect him, and sure as hell don't disrespect him publicly, because all he needs is an excuse. Right. He, you know, that Michael Jordan meme from The Last Dance, which if you haven't seen it, I don't know what you're waiting on. It's phenomenal television. Where I took that personally. That's Mahomes. Right. Think back to a few years ago when he was named as the 4th best player in NFL's top 100 and then threw for 4 touchdown passes in a game and started counting it off on his hands and all the different things. You don't want to give him added ammunition because he's already got so much to prove behind him. With the 15-2 regular season and people questioning, you know, are they going to be able to complete the three-peat, all the media attention and all the circus, you know, all the things. And then you're like, oh, he's not that great. You know, he's the 4th best quarterback in the playoffs. He's the 5th best quarterback in the playoffs. Who are you talking about? Unreal.
Obviously, the Pro Bowl doesn't matter. All-Pro is nice when it comes to the Hall of Fame stuff and talking about them, you know, after their career. And I think he should have gotten more consideration for this year's MVP, even with those numbers. I know it's been his worst year, but for the same reason as why I'm scared if I'm the rest of the NFL this playoffs. And that reason is the weapons that he did it with this season. I understand Kelce is still Travis Kelce, but he is whether it's by design or whether he's getting old, he's being used less. Mm-hmm. And a rookie wide receiver that had to be brought along like rookie wide receivers do as his weapons. Like, he had a D-Hop who played barely over a third of the snaps the last few weeks. He didn't have Hollywood Brown. Rashee Rice got injured in week four or whatever it was. Like, he did that. And no left tackle. Sorry.
Exactly. I was going to mention that too. The revolving door at left tackle.
So to do that with the scraps that he was given on offense, it baffles me that he got as little MVP talk as he did. But then to transition to your argument about the playoffs, he's never had this complete of an arsenal in January. I understand he had peak Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. He had two absolute monsters to do it with his first couple of trips to January. But he's never had, D-Hop, Brown, Worthy. You're good with all the backs out of the backfield. Kelce, Gray. I mean, he's got 7 or 8 legitimate NFL weapons. He's never had anything close to that. He hasn't even had that this season, and he won 15 freaking games.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're about to see a version of Patrick Mahomes that we haven't seen before. Not saying it's greater, but we haven't had a guy who's able to trust everybody else around him. I don't even think we've seen him this year play a game of that style, if that makes sense. And we're already talking about a guy who's this close to setting playoff records. I'm so excited for the version of this guy we're about to see the next few weeks.
No question about it. You mentioned the running backs, right? I mean, you lost Pacheco there for a long stretch of the season. Now, Kareem Hunt came in and was phenomenal in his role, right? Did a great job, and he's still there. But having Pacheco back along with Kareem Hunt kind of gives you a little bit of a different look. You know, Pacheco is a hard runner, but I don't think he's necessarily a hard between the tackles runner. He's got to utilize his speed and his quickness and then get in one-on-one space. And I think that's when he's at his best. Kareem Hunt is certainly a between the tackles sort of a runner. And then, yes, as you said, having DeAndre Hopkins, you know, he doesn't have the snap concern or whatever looming over him. He's had a few more weeks here, you know, the bye week last week and week 18 to kind of learn a little bit more. Xavier Worthy is now in his defined role that he had during the preseason. Hollywood Brown is back and in his defined role during the preseason. And I think it's funny that you mentioned, you know, he's got a cabal of guys in the offensive side of the football that he can trust in. Last year, he didn't have that, but I felt like he trusted in the defense kind of for the first time in his career. They had a really elite defense. It's going to be fascinating to me because I think he's got both now. He has got an impressive set of weapons on the offensive side of the football, and he has got all the faith in the world in what that defense can provide and how good a unit they can be, right? Top 5 in the league in rush defense and points per game. They have did a much better job in the back half of the year, specifically the last 5 or 6 weeks prior to the Broncos game, of forcing turnovers as well, which I think is very, very beneficial for this football team. Those guys got a couple of weeks to get themselves healthy. Getting Chris Jones back, George Karloftis really improved, getting Charles Aminihou back. I talked about him over and over again last week, and I'm going to continue to do so because I think Charles Aminihou getting injected back into that lineup along the Chiefs defense has been one of the biggest factors in the Chiefs defensive line being able to take another step forward and generate as many sacks as they were able to produce that last month or so of the season, because he's tough to contend with. And when he's out there on the field alongside Karloftis and Chris Jones and Mike Dana, or, you know, Felix Anudike Uzama in limited snaps, or Tariq Wharton, it makes it increasingly more difficult and puts so much more pressure on an offensive line. Because, yeah, okay, you want to go ahead and double-team Chris Jones, you can do that, because if you don't, he's going to be in the backfield. But if you double-team him, then you're leaving 3 offensive linemen and maybe a tight end if he decides to stay in and block, or a running back who wants to chip before a swing to contend with those other 3 guys. Oh, and then you got to remember, you know, Steve Spagnuolo is not afraid to dial up a blitz. Is he going to send Shamari Connor from the slot? Is he going to send Justin Reed down from his safety spot? Is he going to send 1 linebacker or 2, or for some reason all 3 on a given play because he feels like it? That I think Charles Aminihou has opened up so much more for this Chiefs football team when it comes to this postseason on the defensive side. And having that trust and that faith in the defense and having a bunch of weapons at your disposal on offense, I don't think Mahomes has ever had that in his career up to this point. And I agree. I think that things could get very, very fun if you're a Chiefs fan here coming up on Saturday. let's hope, right? I don't want to get your hopes up too much, right? I want to be like, oh, the Chiefs are going to beat them by 30, right? Don't get that idea in your head. But I'm very, very comfortable and confident with where the Chiefs are at right now. Again, our text line, 913-586-7965. We've got a few minutes here left in our show. We'll get to some of these messages when we come back. You're listening to After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan. After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber here with you hosting tonight's show. Our producer is Nathan Williams as I kick off week two here at Odyssey in 96.5 The Fan. Kansas City kid, born and raised, who is excited to be back home and hopefully for a very, very long time here. I mentioned our text line, 913-586-7965, and been taking a look at these throughout the course of the show. You know, we had something kind of like this down in Springfield, but nothing to this extent. Absolutely thrilled to have this here. I had an 816 say, how can you not be a fan of the biggest sport Iowa has? I am a fan of Iowa wrestling, but I'm not going to sit down and watch like a Penn State Ohio State duel. I'm just not. I mean, I'll watch the Olympics if it's an Iowa guy who is wrestling in a match, but I'm not going to sit down and watch a duel or watch a tournament if it's not like the University of Iowa competing. Although I will say, I had a lot of my family did wrestle and does wrestle. Like a high school wrestling tournament is fun. I don't know if you've ever been to the state wrestling tournament for Missouri here in Columbia. I've been a couple of, it's a fun atmosphere. It's insane. It really, and man, I got to tell you, parents of high school wrestling, woo, there are more wrestling matches in the stands sometimes than there are on the mat. I mean, they take it very, very seriously. I really haven't, I do enjoy wrestling. I just enjoy Iowa wrestling. I don't fully enjoy like all of the sport as a whole. 913 says, dude, I'm excited for you. You have a lot to live up to with the past After Hours host. Some of my favorites. And yeah, I'm just filling in for the time being. I grew up listening to this show with, you know, and listening to this station, you know, guys like Jay and others doing such a great job. I'm just excited to be a part of it myself. 816 says, the text line are your people. He says, you sound like a younger version of Gold. I'll take the compliment. I'm not sure Alex will, but you know, I do appreciate it.
I hear what the texter. I understand their point about the voice a little bit. Mm. Once I didn't think that off. You know, when I first heard your voice, but now that they say that, I do see what they're saying, and that's a compliment.
I do. I'll take the compliment. The question is, will Alex think it's a compliment when he hears it? See, that's the problem. I think you have to say congrats to hear you on the radio. It's cool to see a small town guy hit the big time. I'll be your top listener, Broccoli. Well, thank you, Brock. I appreciate Broccoli, but you know, we'll see. I'm just excited to be here. We had another 918 say that Clay Martin is this person's district's AD. Chiefs are 6-0 when he refs. Yeah, Chiefs are, you know, undefeated when a lot of people ref. It's just kind of the nature of the beast. I know there's been a ton of people kind of gravitating towards that. There's some random person on Twitter, I don't know, like Dov Kleiman or some random, you know, Twitter dude who put out, oh, the Chiefs are undefeated when this guy refs. A lot of the Chiefs are undefeated with a lot of officials refereeing. They haven't lost a lot of games in the last 7 years. I don't know if you've noticed.
Yeah, you got to have that fodder ready to go for when a Chiefs wide receiver is tackled and the refs make the correct call.
Right.
Twitter has to be ready for an excuse.
Yeah,
and they've got that.
Yeah, they need the background ready knowledge to justify when they're like, oh, the refs are helping the Chiefs win. The refs are in the Chiefs' pocket and the NFL wants Kansas City to win and blah, 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 blah. Whatever. Had a 913 say, we can't rely on Butker this year. I think that you're right to be concerned about Harrison Butker. But again, you know, Mahomes takes it to another level in the playoffs. Harrison Butker is a different guy when it comes to the postseason. He's had a couple of weeks here to kind of get himself a little bit figured out and deal with the ramifications of some missed field goals and that extra point, and certainly that missed field goal against the Broncos. So I can't say I'm overly concerned about where Butker is, but, you know, I would be cautious about where you are with him and maybe not put yourself in a situation where you have to rely on a Butker to hit a 50-plus yarder to win a game here in the playoffs. All in all, though, I think the Chiefs are in a good spot. This has been After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber here with you, our producer, Nathan Williams. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. I'll be back here from 7 to 9 on 96.5 The Fan.
As women, we all wake up one day and realize that youth, marriage, and perfect skin don't come with a refund policy. If that hits home, Party's Over is good for you. It's the show where beauty, heartbreak, and brutal honesty collide. Each week, beauty rebel and author of BS to Botox, Sandra Lena Silverman, and her guests spill the truth about aging, love, and everything in between. Expect laughter, wisdom, and the occasional Botox confession. Real women, real stories, real talk. Download Party's Over today on the Odyssey app.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. We just forge them differently now. Flavors bold enough to stop you mid-bite. Art bright enough to change the way you see the world. Neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. In Pittsburgh, everything we ever forged was made to spark something more. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.